This podcast is sponsored by Smartsheet, the cloud-based work management platform and best-kept secret of more than half the Fortune 500 companies. Learn more at smartsheet.com/crosscuttingconcerns.
How the app get made, explain your trade, what you love to do every day, the ins and out of what your code's about, or the passion you know you can't live without. How's your data stored or sorted, transformed or imported? Let's chat a bit at a conference, and if it's cool, may re-record it. What framework do you like the best? Explain to us your unit test. Do you have a tip for JavaScript or a dev kit that we can tinker with? A process, a methodology, in depth, no apologies. Step up your code, stay on your toes, cross-cutting concerns. With Matt Groves.
You're listening to the Crosscutting Concerns podcast. I'm your host, Matt Groves. Please visit the site at crosscuttingconcerns.com where you can subscribe, browse the archives, contact me, read show notes, and leave a comment.
Stay on your toes, Crosscutting Concern with Matt Groves.
I'm recording this podcast on June 2nd, 2018 at the Music City Tech Conference here in Nashville, Tennessee. My guest today is the Employee and Community Engagement Agent at Test Double, Cassandra Ferris. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for being on the show. About how long would you say you've been using social media?
To some extent, I've been connecting with people online that are sometimes often strangers since I was in college, back in the early days of chat and customizable websites like GeoCities and stuff. To some extent, even back then, we were trying to connect with people from a social standpoint. But I really started using it shortly after graduating college and moving out of my hometown as a way to stay in touch with people I'd went to school with. And then, when I moved to Columbus, Ohio, which is where I'm based now, I was new to the city and I wanted to know what was happening in the city. And so I really started using social media to connect with some local bloggers that talked about city events and some local businesses and things. So initially that's how I used it, was just kind of first to keep in touch with people that I'd met, then to find out what was happening in the city. And I've been active on social media since probably 2004, back in the early Facebook and MySpace days.
So since the very beginning, basically.
Pretty much. Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah, so you mentioned some of the reasons, but why did you first get on social media?
It was a way to connect with people. When my friends were living scattered across the U.S. and a few in Europe, social media was a way for me to stay in touch with everybody that I couldn't see in person any longer.
So it was mostly friends, family, things like
mm-hmm.
that.
Exactly. Okay.
And then you used to be a recruiter. Mm-hmm. And so did you find social media useful for recruiting?
Yes. I didn't set out purposely to use it as a recruiting tool. So maybe a little bit LinkedIn. But what I found was that through especially platforms like Twitter, I could get to know people who were involved in the technology community and find ways to connect with them, not only about the tech that they were sharing and their technical practices and knowledge, but also find out things about people from a personal standpoint. And so I started to get to know people. You know, over 2 or 3 years, we'd tweet back and forth about the Columbus Crew soccer team and JavaScript. And then 2 years later, that person's looking for a job, and I was one of the first person they reached out to because they knew me as a recruiter. They knew something about me as a recruiter other than I'm just spamming you on LinkedIn.
Well, that's nice. It's always nice to have a recruiter that's not just sending you emails and that's the only time you hear from them. What are some of the other ways that social media has been useful for recruiting?
It has been, especially once I got deliberate about it, actually one of the more useful things about it has been, in addition to just kind of meeting new people and expanding my network, I've picked up a lot of tips on what not to do as a recruiter. On social media, I'll see people complain about the stupid recruiter did this or that, or the stupid recruiter. I very much used that to think about, oh, I'm not going to just send a generic blank email to everybody I'm trying to hire. Instead, I will customize my invitation and actually have looked at somebody's GitHub profile before I try to contact them. So I've learned a lot of best practices just by people are doing these things that are bad. I will do the opposite, and hopefully that'll be good. And then aside from that, just kind of keeping up with trends and technology. Or more recently, I'm seeing a lot of conversations among developers, among leadership, or some of the other topics that, as our industry matures, we're starting to need to focus on as well.
So you're not just parachuting in when you have a job you need to fill, but you're actually getting involved with the community, understanding what's going on, you know, what people are saying about recruiting and what they're looking for, and things like that.
Yeah, it's extremely rare for me to try to actively recruit people off any, even on LinkedIn, it's extremely rare for me to do that. Every once in a while, I'll cross-post, you know, a job posting at Test Double. But for the most part, it's there's kind of a little bit of a process to it where first you sit back and you just kind of listen and see what people are talking about, and then you find ways to engage with them. You know, I've noticed, oh, everybody wants to talk about this or that thing. I have something valuable to contribute to this conversation, or I have a question about it. Now I feel like I can pipe in.
So your current role, you're no longer recruiting. You're a employee and community engagement agent. What is social media doing for you now?
So the role right now, about half of it is mentoring, coaching, one-on-ones of developers. And the rest is a lot of like keeping up with the technology community, knowing what's happening, knowing what trends are. And so where it's helping me a lot right now is actually just from a networking component, from a staying in touch with people that I see at conferences like this only once or twice a year. I will probably always to some extent be doing some recruiting, so it helps me too to see what's happening there. And just keeps me updated on industry news. One other effect that it has is everybody at Test Double works from home. And so we have Slack and we have Zoom and we have, you know, weekly virtual hangouts, but everybody's Twitter feeds and things are another way to find out, or like Instagram and stuff are another way to find out what people have going on in their lives. So like the one woman just got a new puppy, and when we get into a meeting, like that's a good small talk topic before we start the meeting is, hey, how's the puppy doing? So there's a little bit of that enabling that human connection in a company where you're all remote, and that could get lonely, but it doesn't.
So let's talk about some of the social networks. There are a lot of them these days. And which social networks do you use? What do you use them for? Which ones do you find useful for different tasks?
I don't understand Snapchat, and I have not taken the time to learn it, so that's not the one I use. Twitter is easily my most powerful tool. I had, at my previous company, there were 9 people that I'd hired that I initially met through Twitter. Oh, a good example is even just a few nights ago. I get to Music City Tech and I send out a tweet, hey, what's happening that's fun tonight? And a couple people direct messaged me and we wound up meeting up and having a couple drinks and just chit-chatting. And these were people that one I had met before at a conference and one I met for the first time that night. And it's just because you put it out there. So that's what Twitter does, is it's people in tech use Twitter different than the rest of the world. So a lot of the world seems to use Twitter to follow news, follow celebrities. In the tech industry, we use it very much to share industry knowledge, to talk about conferences, to promote our stuff, and also to like connect with people. So that's when I use. LinkedIn is kind of the necessary evil of social networking. What's been really interesting is this year I've been speaking a lot on social media and branding, and I'm learning that more and more developers, especially the more junior developers and the more experienced developers, so not necessarily the mid-career developers, but the ones who are just starting out and the ones who've been doing it for 15 years seem to be more active on LinkedIn than I'd realized. And I'm getting a lot of questions lately about how can I use LinkedIn more effectively. So I'm giving people tips like make use of your status updates on LinkedIn and share something. Share that you're at an event. Share that you're doing something. Make use of the articles feature and treat it as kind of a mini blog post. So after you leave a conference, blog your top 5 learnings on LinkedIn. And that gives you a way to share what you learned, and if you do that over time, then it helps you be an expert or be perceived as an expert. And LinkedIn being the professional platform of choice, it kind of makes sense to really focus on industry stuff there. And then I used to use Facebook really heavily to connect with people that I only saw in real life once or twice a year. And I don't mind overlapping my personal and professional life. Some people do, it depends. More recently, I've been kind of using Instagram in place of Facebook and just cross-posting to Facebook because things seem to be going more and more visual. And so like a Facebook post that has a picture gets more engagement. So I may as well 2 birds with 1 stone and post it on Instagram and cross post it to Facebook, and same company anyway. So that works too. So those are kind of the 4 I use are Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn.
So one of the things I do is Twitter is my central social hub. Everything I post on Twitter then gets cross posted to Facebook and LinkedIn. It sounds like what you're saying with LinkedIn is that maybe I shouldn't do that. Maybe I should just leave the professional stuff on LinkedIn and all of the dumb stuff I post, GIFs and jokes and things, leave that on Twitter. Is that kind of what you're getting at? Or?
So the tricky thing about this is there's not really a right answer for everybody. So it's what is right for you. And so if you, I'll periodically, like not on LinkedIn, but on other sites, I will share stuff that's not necessarily professional. But I don't think there's anything wrong with sharing that kind of stuff on LinkedIn. I just think that they're different platforms that have kind of different uses. So LinkedIn, I do think should have a little bit more of a professional feel, but if sharing animated GIFs is part of your brand, go for it. You know, share that. I think I probably have posted pictures of my dog once or twice on LinkedIn because my dog is adorable and a thing people know me for. So,
okay. If I'm using Twitter or LinkedIn as these ways to project my professional self out there, do you find that there's any sort of, I don't know if it's the right word or not, but self-censoring when I'm posting content? Like maybe I'll stay away from posting something controversial, even if it's, you know, something I feel strongly about. Just stay away from that because I don't want it to affect my professional life.
I think it's not necessarily avoiding controversy. It's not necessarily censoring yourself, but it's being purposeful and being deliberate about what you're sharing. And so if you decide that a piece of your personal brand is, I feel very strongly about this political topic. And a perfect example is a friend of mine's a director for a nonprofit. And when she shares on Twitter, she will share, obviously, things that are politically related to the nonprofit that she directs. And that's fine for her. And she's comfortable doing that. I am not comfortable sharing political or religious things on social media. A big piece of that is because I want to, for what I do for my role, which is basically getting to know people and helping them be effective at work, it's in my benefit to have a broad array of people that I can talk to. And if I was to share my political views, then I would alienate, you know, half the population. And I can't afford to do that because I want diversity of thought, I want diversity of ideas, and I want to be able to connect with lots of people. And so it's just a matter of what you're trying to do with your social media.
I tend to agree with that. I remember I was at a conference once, and there was a company there, and I believe the reason they had a booth there was they were recruiting. One of the people had a very polarizing political t-shirt on at the conference, which I thought was a bad choice to do that when you're trying to reach as many people as possible and recruit people, and that's why you're at the event. And I feel like wearing a shirt like that is going to cause people just not to come up just for that reason.
Yeah. It's going to attract only a certain type of person with a certain type of mindset to your company, and that's not a healthy company long term if everybody's the same.
Right. And it's not like I don't think they should have a political opinion. It's just that maybe not the best place for it.
Exactly.
Right there.
And like if you're not behind the conference booth, okay, maybe. But yeah, if you're behind the booth, well, this is an interesting thing too, is you need to think about what different companies have different social media policies. And so if you're going to be perceived as having everything you tweet is the views of the company, then you might want to approach your social media differently or even have two different accounts than if that's not the case with your company.
You're presenting here at Music City Code, and one of the things in your presentation is an exercise that you walk people through in social media. And could you maybe talk about that a little bit, what the exercise consists of and what the goal is?
Yeah, so the idea is that there's all these different options. There's all these different ways that you can take. There's not a lot of right or wrong in this area. There's best practices, there's things you can do, but figuring out your individual social strategy is going to be different from mine based on your role, what you're trying to do. And so what I'll do is I'll have you sit down and it's basically three basic questions. What are you doing professionally? Or who are you professionally? Who are you personally? And how can you connect? And what you want to do is you want to sit down and look at who am I professionally? What am I good at? And you want to look at what you're good at from a technical standpoint as well as from a team member standpoint. So, for example, you specialize in C# development and you're a very good team lead. Well, then those are things that could maybe be a piece of your personal brand. And then you can sit and think about who you are as a person as well. So what are your hobbies? What are your values, your interests? How strongly do you feel about those things? So maybe you're really passionate about animal rescue and soccer. Then maybe those are also things that you share on your social media. And so you kind of think about what are the types of things I mostly want to share. And so it initially wasn't deliberate, but for me it's become pretty deliberate that most of my Twitter feed is technology, conferences and community, soccer, board games, my dog and travel. Like that's my stuff that I'm into. And so it's pretty consistent set of tweets and set of information that I share. And what that allows you to do is connect with other people who share those interests and share those commonalities. And then the third piece of this is thinking about how can you connect with people. So you can follow, when I first started, I just followed everybody who was tweeting about a conference called CodeMash up in Sandusky. I just followed everybody that tweeted about CodeMash and then sat back and read, you know, just read Twitter feeds for a few weeks and saw, oh, these people have things in common with me. These people don't. The people I have something in common with, I can compliment something that they post. Maybe they post a picture of their cat and it's adorable. I can ask them what they thought about a certain conference session. They're asking for questions or feedback or input, and I can give that to them. So kind of thinking about how you can contribute and how you can get a conversation going online, and compliments and questions are going to be your two ways to get that going.
Okay, that's some great advice. Now, I have a game I play with most of my guests, okay. And so now it's time to play the game that's sweeping the nation.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for your favorite game from Cross-Cutting Concerns, where the question is it a JavaScript framework or something we just made up? Now, here's your host, Matt Groves.
Thanks, Joe. Now, as you know, they give JavaScript libraries awfully funny names. I think you even mentioned a made-up one in your session. In this game, I'm going to give you three names of libraries, and it's your goal to guess which ones are real and which ones you think I made up.
Okay.
And then if you get all three of these correct, you're going to win a $5 gift card. So how comfortable are you with JavaScript and library names and things like that?
I see a lot of them, talk to people that work with a lot of them. At a very high level, understand some of them, but I am not a programmer.
Okay, so things like React, Angular, you would know right away those are real. Well, it's not going to be that easy in this game.
Okay.
I pick really deep cuts for this. So
even
experienced JavaScript developers have lost at this game, so you got a pretty good shot at winning, I think. All right, so here we go. Here are the libraries. The first one is called Grunt Asset Fingerprint. All right, that's the first one. The second one is called Columbus, where we both live. And the last one is called Searles, spelled the same name, same way as Justin Searles. All right, so those are your three libraries. Do you need to hear them again?
No. I'm going to guess that Grunt Asset Fingerprint is the only real one.
Okay, so Grunt Asset Fingerprint is real?
Yeah.
Columbus is made up and Searles is made up.
You sure?
I'm sorry, you didn't win this round.
Oh.
So Grunt Asset Fingerprint is real.
Okay.
It generates asset fingerprints. Pretty self-explanatory there.
Okay.
Columbus is also real. It is a UDP-based discovery module, much like Christopher Columbus discovery sort of thing. And Searles is a real library.
Okay.
Created by Searles.
This
contains
that.
His contact information. That's all it does. So sorry
That's
you didn't
funny.
Win the gift card this time, but thank you very much for playing.
Don't tell Searles that I got that one wrong.
I don't think he listens to this podcast. If you do, Searles, listen to the podcast, then tweet the word aardvark and we'll know you listen. Okay, before we wrap up here, I wanted to ask you any resources you'd recommend for people looking to get into social media, manage their social media better, things like that.
I don't have a lot of social media specific resources, but I do have a lot of networking specific resources. The biggest one is, years ago I read Dan Pink's To Sell as Human. The whole premise of the book is that people want to work with people that they like, and so he gives a lot of kind of deliberate practices and tips for how to connect with people. Another book that I really like, and I refer to this in the social media talk, is this book by Stephen M. Covey called The Speed of Trust. Basically, his whole premise is that trust is a deliberate behavior. It's got kind of 13 different subcomponents, and in order to just be a decent human, much less a decent business person, you need to build trust, you need to extend trust with others, and you need to repair trust. And so I talk about it in the context of my social media talk as to how you build trust within the community and how you build trust by being transparent about who you are. For example, early on as a recruiter, I never hid the fact that I was a recruiter when I would go to a user group. I was like, yes, I'm a recruiter, I'm here to learn. And over time, doing that kind of stuff and being that transparent helped me build trust. And then when I'm figuring out who to connect with and who to talk to, that's kind of the extending trust and who does it make sense for me to talk to and form a relationship with and how. So that book actually has a lot of just different takeaways that apply to anybody in any role. There's a whole class you can take around it and stuff that's pretty cool.
I'll add links to those in the show notes at crosscuttingconcerns.com. Is there anything you'd like to promote as we wrap up the show?
And this segues kind of into social media as well. So two different kind of unrelated but not things. I'm the president of a conference called Dog Food Con. Dog Food Con at one point plays off the IT term dog fooding. And at one point it was all for Microsoft people, by Microsoft people. Well, now Microsoft has become very open source. The community, so the conference has become very Microsoft Hearts open source with a whole professional skills track and just a whole community conference. So that's in October 5th and 6th in Columbus, Ohio. The other thing is I'm involved in a group called Save the Crew. And Save the Crew was actually a hashtag that I found, and I have over the years discovered quite an intersection of people who are in technology and people who are into soccer. And so I'm involved with the Save the Crew group from a volunteer standpoint, trying to get more people into the stadium as well as doing some marketing there. One of the more interesting things about Save the Crew group is how many people work in our industry. One of the guys that leads, it's a business analyst, unsurprisingly, with the project management bent. So those are kind of the two big things that I'm involved in outside of kind of my day job.
My guest today has been Cassandra Ferris. Thanks very much for being on the show.
Thank you. Yeah, yeah.
This has been the Crosscutting Concerns podcast, produced and recorded by Matt Groves, 2018. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it on social media and leave a review on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you downloaded this podcast. For show notes, please go to crosscuttingconcerns.com. This episode is recorded under the Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 license. Hosting for this episode was made possible in part by Microsoft.
This week's podcast is brought to you by Smartsheet. Are your projects pulled off like Band-Aids? You need Smartsheet. No more pain, just simple, collaborative work management in the cloud from a beautiful UI. Learn more at smartsheet.com/crosscuttingconcerns.
It was recorded and mixed with the help of Camtasia Recorder, Skype, and Audacity. Music is by Joe Ferg. Check out joeferg.com, J-O-E-F-E-R-G, to listen to more great music.
Stay on your toes, step up your code, stay on your toes, step up your code, stay on your toes. Cross-cutting concern with Matt Groves.